We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
If the
Bucks do win it all, Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am one of your hosts, Ty Windisch, joined as always by the very punctual Rohan Kadi. Not sarcasm, by the way. Not sarcasm. Rohan, well ahead of time, our typical recording time today. I appreciate it. How's it going, sir?
Doing well, you know. It's a nice bright day in Milwaukee. It's like things are looking up. It's good vibes all around, Ty.
It is good vibes all around. Even for the Milwaukee Brewers, for once, the Brewers, an epic overtime win against Los Angeles last night as we record. Hopefully two wins in a row as you hear this. I can't say as to if that's true or not, but for the latest on the Brewers after this Dodgers series is over, be sure that you are subscribed to Cruising for a Bruising, C-R-E-W-S-I-N-G for a B-R-E-W. S-I-N-G. I think I said J the first time, but geez. Our GSPN's Milwaukee Brewers podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your pods, you can find Cruising for a Bruising, and you should check it out.
You really should. It's great stuff over there. Adam McGee and Andrew Snyder. Just good talk about baseball, good analysis. It's a very good podcast. Would recommend. Obviously, I'm biased, but I'd still recommend.
Also, you know what they're going to be talking about? Keston Hira dinger on the pod.
Ooh, for this game. Calling your shots?
Calling my shot Wednesday night. Kes Daddy. I saw he's in the starting lineup. I'll call a Keston homer out. It feels like that's what he does when he plays.
So. Yelly back-to-back games with a home run? Exclamation point.
500 feet after the 451, I think it was last night.
Yes, sir.
Okay, enough baseball talk. We'll let Adam and Andrew, and maybe us later, but especially those two, handle that on the Cruisin' Pod every series. But the vibes are also good for Team Greece. We continue to follow Giannis, Thanasis, Kostas, not Alex anymore, sadly, and the Greek national team as they get ready for first FIBA World Cup qualifiers and then Eurobasket. Right now, participating in the Acropolis tournament, which I think technically these are still termed friendlies, but
yeah,
the teams seem to be taking them pretty seriously. So actually, Sandro Mamukelashvili, I know how to say this. I don't know why I stumbled on Mamu's last name, because I'm used to saying Mamu, that's why. He and Georgia, a heated game against Turkey earlier on Wednesday. And then afterward, Greece, a much less heated game against Poland. So we saw a lot of Bucks in action today, and they will be in action all week. There are games Wednesday that have happened, and Thursday and Friday. Every team plays every day in this 3 days, so we'll give a little preview and talk about what we've seen. But, yeah, friendly, I mean, it's not like there was bad blood, but Again, the Poland game, Poland versus Giannis, Poland could not do anything about Giannis. I don't recognize any players on the roster. He just did whatever he wanted. We'll talk about Giannis. But the Georgia-Turkey game was intense. Saw Mamu going up against Jedi Osman, Furkan Korkmaz, Elperin Şengün, and some good clips for Mamu, some good moments, really active on the offensive glass, trying for putbacks. Missed a lot of his free throws, which is not ideal. Maybe learning too much from Giannis. Just kidding. But they came up short and lost. Turkey, you know, maybe you're laughing at the players I said, but that's a hell of a trio for this tournament, this format. The Turkish team is legit, even without Ersan Ilyasova. And Georgia, you know, they have another nice player, but Mamu, one of the best ones. So the fact that they competed in this game said a lot to me about the Georgian team, honestly.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of structure there. It's interesting to see how Mamu sort of fares, because we've talked a lot about him over this offseason about, like, how does he fit with this team? Can he actually succeed with this Bucks team, I should say?
Yeah.
And getting to see him play against, like, actual NBA competition, like, given it's not as strong as it normally would be. Like, imagine you're playing a worse version of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Like, it's not, but it's still something. It's good to see him go out there.
Too. So, yeah, they could be, if Jalen Green is out, they could be the Rockets.
Sure. Shane Larkin. Haven't heard that name in a while. But no, it's nice to see him actually do well in these type of competitions, no matter what the competition level actually is. But just to see him go out there and perform really well for this team in whatever capacity, whatever role, whether it's an increased role, whether it's more of a like a featured role, I should say, or more as a role player. It's good to see him progressing. So it'll be interesting to see how Mamu fares in this tournament. Is he going to play all three games? Is he only going to play two? Was this his only game? We'll touch on that in a little bit about Team Greece. But I think teams are going to take it a little easier considering these are the warmups for international, like actual international competition. That's what the Acropolis tournament sort of serves as. It is a warm-up. It allows you to get up to competition speed so that you can perform at the highest level for the games that matter, whether it's World Cup qualifiers, whether it's Eurobasket, whether it's whatever competition it may be. This is what the tournament serves as. It's a good warm-up. So what do you think? Do you think Mamu plays all three?
I think he plays at least two. We talked a little bit before we started recording about this. It's just an odd situation, and I think maybe less odd for the guys who play over in Europe full-time. Maybe this is more what they're used to, but certainly for NBA players, you know, there are no three-night-in-a-rows on the schedule. Back-to-backs are lower than ever. I believe the Bucks have 12. We'll get to the full schedule takeaways. I mean, we won't just read every game, but we'll get to our reactions, takeaways, analysis, and such in a little bit. But certainly there's no, you know, three games in three nights. It just doesn't happen. So I don't know if, you know, I certainly don't think Giannis will play all three. We already saw that he sat out one of the two friendly games against Spain. Although these are all in Greece, he did play the game in Greece. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting. But Mamu, I think being younger, less day-to-day responsibilities with the Bucks, although certainly does play a lot and get a lot of touches on the Wisconsin Herd when he's down there. He's still on that two-way deal. I think maybe he plays all three. You know, for them, it's unfortunate for both teams, Greece and Georgia, that they get Poland on the outside of the thing, right? So Greece gets Poland first and Georgia gets Poland. That's their third game. And not to rag unnecessarily on the Polish team, but it's Greece, Turkey, Georgia, Poland. And I think, you know, maybe Poland can hang with Georgia. That might be a real game. We'll see. I'll look forward to it. But I think that would be an obvious one for the other teams to skip, given, you know, Turkey and Greece, I think, are the top two teams that are here in the Acropolis tournament. And then the obvious Giannis versus Mamu fun, right? Like, everyone wants to see that. Maybe Mamu doesn't. Maybe Mamu does. It's probably a good measuring stick for
him. I think Giannis does.
Yeah, Giannis does. I mean, that's got to be some fun bragging rights with, you know, with the young guy going forward. But it is unfortunate that the Poland game is not the middle game for those teams. Either of those teams, I think that'd be good. But I would be a little surprised if they played all, if Giannis played all three, I'm kind of 50-50 on Mamu.
Yeah, I think there's a chance Mamu does. I'm not super familiar with Georgian basketball.
Yeah, same. Right there with you.
I know that Greece, especially with the additions of Josh Oppenheimer to the coaching staff, they're taking Giannis slow.
Yeah.
for good reason.
Also, Bud is just going to like every game.
Oh yeah, he was watching the Turkey Poland game with Greece's head coach.
The Turkey Georgia.
Yes.
We all have to stay on our toes here, Rohan. There's a lot of countries we may not be used to watching in international basketball on the scene right now, but it's kind of fun, honestly.
No, it is. It's types of environments you don't get to see very often. It's a lot of players you don't get to see, a lot of styles you don't get to see very often. So it is. I do appreciate this. It is very good, especially with how much of a grind the NBA season is, as we will get into later. But I really, really enjoy watching these international basketball competitions. But yeah, Bud's living it up in Greece, man. He looks so like happy. He's having a good time.
So happy for our guy.
Yeah. He looks way less stressed. Maybe that's just off-season Bud.
Yeah.
But it's just like, he looks much more at peace. And it's like, hell yeah, man. Go Bud.
He's doing puzzles. He's watching tape. And he's going to Greece to hang out with Bucks players and other coaches. That seems like a dream life for Bud.
I love that he just goes and hangs out with the other coach, too. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's any pre-existing relationship there. It seems unlikely. But just Bud watching the game with the Greek national team head coach with one of his players is in. It's just so on brand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like he did an interview over there. I didn't get to see it, but I can just imagine, like, what if he learned Greek, but he still just starts every answer with yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Hey, Bud, how's your vacation going? What's been your favorite part of visiting Greece? Yeah, no, you know, there's a lot of good spots here. Credit to the other countries. You know, they give a lot of they have a lot of good offerings, a lot of good destinations. But so credit to them first and foremost.
Yeah,
but
credit to you know, my passport. I just want to get better at vacationing every single day, and that's that. Should we talk about the Greek team now?
Sure, let's do it.
So, again, like, Giannis really just dominant here. Well, we saw the same against Spain. I'll be really interested to see. Hopefully he plays at least one other game, either whether it's versus Mamu in Georgia or Turkey, which I think Greece-Turkey is shaping up to be the best game of the Acropolis tournament, and that will be the last day of the tournament. So some drama and intrigue there. But Giannis, 24 points. And I think what's fun about it for me is pretty just decent in one area, but some interesting efficiency. Giannis was getting hacked. Like, Poland really just had no other way to guard him.
Shoots 10 fouls drawn.
10 fouls drawn, 19 attempted free throws. 12 for 19, which is like 63%.
It's a different ball.
We'd like to see a better number, but 2 for 4 on threes, and he's been shooting them over in Europe so far. A little bit shorter line, and most of his shots are coming from the outside, the top of the arc. I think actually the corners are roughly the same. Or no, I think it, what it is, no, they're not. They're still shorter. They're the same distance from out of bounds, but I think the court is just narrower.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think all of his threes have been above the break because we know where Giannis likes to start with the ball.
Yeah, because he doesn't fit in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, when do you see big guys shooting from the corner? You don't. They don't fit.
I guess if you count PJ. I think just Cat, probably not that much.
Not too much. Usually he likes wing threes.
Yeah, usually big guys who shoot threes pick and pop out to the perimeter. But Giannis, it's just like, he's got the ball out there, and if you build the barrier too far away, he's just shooting like crazy. Which I think, I mean, 4 in a game. This is a weird game. He played like 23 minutes.
It's not outrageous.
Not that far off from what we would see in the NBA, especially in, you know, an average game, right? Not like a closing playoff game.
Yeah, for sure. It's nothing out of the ordinary. It's just good to see him consistently shooting a solid clip.
Yeah,
especially like in this game, like in international game, European game, it's much more crowded. There's not as good spacing. So Giannis is like, okay, I guess I have to compensate a little more by shooting a little more. So it's nothing outrageous. I wouldn't draw a lot from this.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but I do agree with your point that just to see him continue to shoot at what's basically his average baseline for attempts now is encouraging. That's what you want. Like, I don't know if it's helpful if he goes there and takes 10 threes a game. I don't know if that's going to help, but just continue to, you know, very Bucksian thing, right? Build good habits, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just got to get better every day.
That's all you can do. Kind of disappointing lack of Thanasis so far overall.
They're saving my guy.
They might be saving your guy from getting like banned from the tournament for just too much. He had 4 fouls in 9 minutes.
That's my guy.
He's just expanding his legacy. Made both of his shots. 4 fouls, 1 assist, 1 rebound, 1 steal. Just an incredibly Thanasis line.
I don't know what it is about it. Again, I didn't see this game live. But just about the Greek national team in general, it's tough trying to break that wing rotation because he's too small to play as a big. So just being able to crack that wing rotation is a little bit tougher, especially when there's guys with more experience on the team.
Yeah. Interesting note. This game we saw, Slokas made his debut. He had not played due to an injury so far. Konstantinos Slokas. And then Papayan is still out, but they're hoping he can be back pretty soon.
Okay. It's good to hear. Like, especially, yeah, when Papayanis comes back, you're going to have to force Thanasis to play as a wing because you're just not going to not have any spots to play as a big, especially when Kostas is balling.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch Kostas so far. He had a couple of really fun plays with Giannis early in this game, including one where he grabs a rebound and basically chucks a full court pass down to Giannis, and then Giannis dunks it over a Poland player. That I enjoyed. And also, he caught a really fun alley-oop from Nick Kalathis. Like, Kalathis, for the faults you mostly, I'll say we, have with Nick Kalathis, threw a gorgeous, like, from mid-court alley-oop to Kostas, who slammed it. Like, they're having fun with Kostas playing. I still think, you know, it'll be good to get Papayannis back, but for the Giannis/Antetokounmpo fans out there, it is pretty cool to watch Kostas play a lot of center and do a pretty good job, I think.
Hey, if the Bucks need a backup big and Serge doesn't work out.
I mean,
honestly, I'm just saying.
You know, they have a big guy on a two-way who I think is better, but Kostas would be a really fun two-way.
Yeah, if you can convert Mamu and then get Kostas on a two-way.
The upside of Kostas is like a little undersized as a true five, but not that much. But has some perimeter skills defensively. I think offensively, pretty raw, right?
Yeah, a switchable big.
Yeah, that's the upside. And I think, honestly, it's cool for him that he is embracing such a different role than the other bros.
Yeah. No, like, that
really
is good.
The farthest from the other bros.
For sure. Just like strictly being a role player, like a rim runner, that sort of thing. It's good. Like you have to star in your own role. That's how you get better.
Exactly. And just being a true center, like not even Giannis really plays like this, but Kostas is like, you can tell the footwork has improved when he's working on the post, trying to get to the basket. And he's really gotten good at finding the right time in the right lane to get to the rim and like finish an oop or try and get a rebound. Like, he's still a little small. I think he needs to body up more on the glass. I think he had like 2 rebounds in this game. But, you know, just fun to watch him play. He did have 4 steals, though, which shows he was getting active in passing lanes and on the perimeter. An intriguing player. And I hope we do see him, you know, whether it's the Bucks or somebody else, come back to the NBA or G League at some point. I'd like to see more of him after this. I went in with no expectation for Kostas, and I'd say I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen so far.
Hey, it's good. The Bucks have to get the full collection at some point, right?
Why not?
Like, you just have to.
I don't
maybe
see
it's maybe it's in like 4 years when Giannis is up for a new contract.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't hate it. If he resigns, like, I'm down. Keep him out of Chicago.
Yeah, I'm down.
He loves the Bulls, apparently. Did you see that clip?
I did.
What is your take?
I think Giannis is a very smart man.
Well, just like, I always think that he got to pay tribute to the greats, which we know he loves doing. He talked about, you know, Jordan playing there and everything. I feel like he likes to spice it up, and he likes to not let anybody get too complacent in his life,
including
the Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you can't give the Bucks, like, a false sense of security. It's like, you got to keep doing this thing because, you know, I could always leave. Which I don't, like, let me say up front, I don't think Giannis is going to leave. No. But you have to remind the Bucks that you could.
Chicago.
No. You have to remind the Bucks that you could, though. And yeah. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
He's not going to Chicago. Are you kidding me?
No, yeah. Honestly, I think it's been kind of obvious all along. Although they always are in the market for and don't get players. But Dallas is the boogeyman for me. Just because of Luka. Nothing else about the organization.
No, absolutely not.
But it's not an overly big market, and I don't think he wants to play in L.A. ever. But it's just like, go play with Luka and anyone else. Literally anyone else rounds out the roster. They're going to have a chance every single year.
See, now Milwaukee is the boogeyman for Dallas. Why don't we flip the narrative, Ty?
Luka doesn't give these fun sound bites. That's why.
I know, but we need to be the change we want to see in the world, Ty. We need to start making the other market suffer. I don't want to hear any ifs, ands, or buts. Luka is coming to Milwaukee. He's going to demand a trade.
No, you know what? I don't want to do that because I make fun of Raptors fans for doing this because they cried about the Kawhi Clippers thing and then turned around the next year and lusted after Giannis. Make up your mind. Do you want players to be recruited or not? I don't know.
Didn't we say like two pods ago that we're good with Canada now?
I'm just calling out something that happened.
That's fair. It wasn't me, Toronto, this time. Just letting you know.
Maybe this will be the reverse.
Though I do agree with Ty. No, you know what? I'm sticking up with Ty, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what am I doing? What am I thinking?
Well, I don't know if you are, though, because I'm saying I don't want to try and... I don't want to be the down bad fan base that's like... pushes fingers together. Luka, please come to Milwaukee. We need you. We don't. We'll be fine.
Oh, no. We don't need him. And that's the point.
Well, then don't. I don't know. I don't get with the recruiting that much. Because we have a guy.
Do you think Dallas needs Giannis? No.
Yes. I do, actually.
That's fair.
I do.
You always need the best player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're going to need somebody. I don't think they have enough. And I know they feel great because the Suns are just a destitute franchise at this point.
Just ask Shams.
Shams.
Did you see that schedule leak that he did? It was just like, because they were doing random games. All the newsmakers were doing random games. It's like, after a devastating blowout, bludgeoning loss in game 7 to the Dallas Mavericks, those two teams face off. It's like, well, Shams, he didn't need to do that.
Yeah, it's going a little far even for me, Shams.
After Phoenix watched Dallas get their have their first board sacrificed in Game 7.
What are we doing?
Do you think do we move on to schedule talk?
I think so.
Or do you have any other thoughts on the Greek national team?
I'm just excited. You know, I think. Really, I'm excited for, and I don't know if we'll get it. It depends if he plays versus Georgia or not. Like, I would expect if Giannis plays, they have a fairly easy time with Georgia. It seems to me they are having the very Bucks issues of, A, they play with their food. Like, they were up huge over Poland. Giannis checks out, and they let Poland get right back in the game. And the other issue is, again, very Bucks. Giannis checks out, and they're just a dumpster fire. Like, they have some going on. But against Poland and Spain, both in the games he played and the one game he didn't, they look like way worse. And of course they do at a certain point, right? Like, Giannis is that guy. But like, they kind of fall apart. So, you know, I don't know if we'll get to see him play against Turkey and Georgia. But I need to see this team play a tougher opponent. And we might not get it until they get Serbia. Was that next week or 2 weeks from now or something?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. They have, is it Poland again? World Cup qualifiers? I don't remember. They play two games. One is a worse team. One is Serbia. And that's the game. That one I'm very excited for. Like Giannis, Jokic. Jokic has more experience overseas than Giannis, I believe. And I think it's been better until this year overall there. But that's going to be a fun game against a very good team. And Turkey would be interesting, but again, we'll see if Giannis plays. That would be the third game in 3 days in the Acropolis tournament.
Yeah, just a wait and see. My prediction is that Giannis misses tomorrow, Thursday's game, and then plays Friday's game.
Sucks if he doesn't get to play Mamu, though.
I know. Now we can just like jeer him from the sidelines.
Yeah, although I wonder, are they less concerned? If you think about it from a strategic standpoint, for just this tournament, do you punt / maybe win the Georgia game knowing they already lost a game? And then if you beat Turkey, I imagine you, I guess it depends on what else happens with Georgia.
It's kind of an odd tournament. It's a wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know how that would end. I guess it would depend, and you'd assume Georgia beats Poland, so then maybe Georgia wins on the tiebreaker with Greece.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the format very well. I'll have to ask Eugene about this later.
Yeah. Make sure you follow Eugene on Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. At Eugene, Chourssou.
Yes.
Let me pull it up to be sure.
No, it isn't.
I nailed it. Yeah. Okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay. So the big news of today, aside from Giannis, who is the biggest news always, is that the NBA released their schedule after the aforementioned individual game leaks that, I don't know, did you, like, here's my question. Did those newsbreakers have to, like, when they text the league office, did they have to be like, okay, I need a, like, the league office required, like, okay, what matchup do you want to know? You have to give me something fun. We're not going to give you anything random.
I think they come from
teams. You have to give
me
something fun.
I think they come from teams.
That's fair. Or whoever it is.
I think the teams have some ideas.
So they can make TikToks where they tear pieces
That's
of paper
true.
Away from the wall.
So they do.
Did you see what the Bucks did?
No. Is that what they did? They just tore pieces of
paper. It's so big. It's so bad.
Did you see? I think it was like the Lions schedule reveal. So good.
Even the Hawks this season. I think it was
Hawks.
The Hawks.
Hawks have a great digital team.
Oh, it's incredible. No, but the Bucks one was just like tearing away a piece of paper. It shows a logo and it's like what the dates are, and it was only like six teams or something.
That's
or seven.
All people need.
Yep. It started with the Cavs or something. The Thunder were in there, ended with the Warriors. I don't know what it was. It wasn't great.
The Thunder?
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know. But it was only like seven teams.
I'm going to watch the video. Talk about the schedule. I need to find this video and watch it.
I think the Bucks tweeted it out. But yeah, the schedule was released. It was already leaked that the Bucks would open their season on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers on October 20th, which is 2 days after the league gets started in general, which is October 18th. Previously, we've seen the Bucks, you know, maybe be the marquee game to open up the season, but since, you know, they fell short in the playoffs this past season. They're not going to be one of those marquee games. So you open up against Philadelphia, and then you get your longest homestand of the season. You get a 6-game homestand, which is their longest of the season. Pretty easy schedule here. One thing that the NBA has mentioned that they wanted to emphasize in this year's schedule was reducing travel. So they've done that. I think it was at least an average of 2,000 miles less travel per team throughout the entire league, which is good. You know, you're trying to, you know, preserve, you know, your body clock and all that fun stuff. And you're also reducing the amount of back-to-backs that teams have. I believe the Bucks have 12 back-to-backs this season, which is down from last season. So it's overall, it's a more efficient schedule. I think efficient's the right word. You play the same amount of games, same teams, whatever, as usual, but you're being more conservative with your time and your travel needs. Did you watch the video, Ty?
Yeah, I'm watching it now. It's pretty bizarre.
It's bad, isn't it?
So the sound, it's using a viral sound on TikTok. So they did a pyramid thing, and they dissed some of the teams on the bottom of the pyramid, and then the upper pyramid teams were good. So the top is the Warriors. That makes sense, right? And then the next tier is the Celtics, which makes sense. And the Sixers, a team who has not been in the Eastern Conference Finals since 2001?
Yep.
The last time the Bucks were there before they, you know, got good again, as some teams do.
And as those made two more, you know?
Sixers chose not to do for whatever reason. So I don't know why they're second tier. And then the bottom is the Raptors, which I think kind of playing with fire. The Cavs, yeah, which feels, again, a little demeaning to me. And the Kings.
Oh, the Thunder weren't on there?
Why the Kings? What?
Everyone wants to know the two times they play the Kings top. The Bucks social media team is on it.
Would the Bulls have just been too obvious?
Yeah.
The rival fans care about regionally? The playoff matchup from last year?
Yeah. It's not good. I don't know, Ty.
Do they know how I feel about the Kevin Huerter trade? I don't know what's going on here. I like it, but I don't know. I don't understand the Kings. Whatever.
It's not good.
I liked your thoughts on travel. Have you seen the positive residual analytics for this schedule so far?
I have not, actually.
So I've got it pulled up here. Pretty interesting. The Bucks are pretty middle of the pack with rest advantage games. They have 10. So the worst off teams only have 5. The best off teams have 14. So they're middle of the road there. But overall schedule-wise, they are 6th in the NBA. Or actually, they're tied for 5th with the Cavs. The Timberwolves, Hawks, Jazz, Nuggets are the only team that have easier schedules according to, again, this is positive residual. So it looks at strength of schedule and everything else. Part of the reason I think the Bucks are so high despite not having rest advantage is they're pretty low on rest disadvantage. So they are 8th in turn, or no, excuse me, 7th in terms of the least rest disadvantage games. So to be clear, rest advantage is you have an extra day of rest or more than your opponent, I believe. And then rest disadvantage is the obvious. I don't know if there's specifics on what exactly qualifies, but basically they're able to calculate without even looking that much at the teams, just how much of, you know, the schedule layout itself is difficult or not from the Bucks. And to compound on that, I actually went through and looked at all the back-to-backs I found on the schedule, and it seems like the Bucks should have a pretty easy path outside of 2 months of the season. I thought this was kind of incredible. So I mentioned earlier they have 12 total back-to-backs. 7 of the 12 are in January and March. No other month they have more than one. And these are 2 games, obviously. So it's 24 games total. But October, November, December, 1 each. So 6 total. I guess the first game doesn't matter, right? 3 total, second game of a back-to-back in the first 3 months. 3 in January, 1 in February, 4 in March, 1 in April. That March part of the schedule is definitely the grinded out portion for Milwaukee.
And that's when you want it, right? You don't want it to happen in December or anything. You want it to happen after the trade deadline when you're getting your team fully suited up and ready for the playoffs. You want to be able to see those tough matchups. You want to be able to see how this team responds to a grind. You need to get that practice in before the actual playoffs show up. So I think that's a good aspect of the Bucks schedule. And like you mentioned, just the back-to-backs, not sort of, you know, they're sort of congested into those 2 months. Whatever. You're not going to have back-to-backs in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just obviously, I think just going to be some punt games in those.
Yeah, and that's good. In January, that's fine. The Bucks punt January every year anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're going to see a lot of Thanasis games, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I think
assuming full health forever.
Well, also, that's the other thing about it being more backloaded. And I know people have tweeted like their first 25 games, I think 20 are teams who were playing or worse last year, and like 17 of them are at home. I think that might have been Eric Name. Excuse me if it was someone else who tweeted that. But regardless, pretty easy just to look. Like they start on the road against Philly, not on opening night. And then literally the rest of the month, they're at home. Like all of October. They don't leave.
It's the longest home stretch of the season.
Yeah, which is extra advantageous for Milwaukee, who may be welcoming Chris Middleton back slower and won't have Joe Ingles. So you're talking about a more rest advantage, less back-to-back stretch early. And then hopefully you can work in – well, Chris should be well back, but knock on wood there. Yeah. But hopefully you can work back Ingles. And maybe it's almost good, too, to have all those back-to-backs in like the months after you're getting him back, hopefully. Because, you know, okay, we're going to give Chris the night off. Joe Ingles, you get to start. Like, you get to play 20 minutes and really get used to playing with Giannis, playing with Brooke, etc.
How does Beauchamp look?
Yeah, you know, yeah, he's going to get some run in those games for sure.
I mean, I'm very excited.
So here's the – I think I identified the hardest part of the schedule. And I know March in general, I think, is. But specifically – and I know early, I think January, there is a Lakers-Clippers back-to-back, both on the road. That's pretty tough, especially because I think Clippers are game two. Like if they're healthy, that we might see the Bucks punt in LA against the Clippers, which I think we also saw last year. Or was that a Milwaukee game? The game Nick Batum scored like 90 points.
I think that was in Milwaukee.
Oh, maybe.
Or wait, or was that Rocco?
It was Rocco. Excuse me.
Yeah,
you're right.
That was in Milwaukee. That was in Milwaukee. But yeah, that double LA back-to-back is February 9th and 10th.
February, that's when. So that's the one February back-to-back. So outside of that, that one stretch should be a pretty manageable part of the schedule. But here's the West Coast, the March part. At Warriors, and then I think one day off, or maybe two, at Kings Suns back-to-back. So the Kings part, not that important, but Suns in Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back, that's a hard place to win. Then they come home for two games, not that bad, Pacers and Raptors. Then back out west for another back-to-back, Jazz Nuggets. Again, at Nuggets, second game of a back-to-back. So those, when you look at the schedule, I think
you punt the Jazz game.
I think you punt Jazz and Kings probably, because those are both the first half of second of back-to-backs against really good teams.
And it's going to be hard to punt them.
Yeah, it is, especially if the Jazz do trade Mitchell, which I think they will.
The
Kings might be decent.
Utah was scheduled four national TV games. They're trading Donovan Mitchell. Everyone knows this.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. But no, I think generally those are going to be tough games, though. Because you're not going to sit everyone. There's going to be some fatigue there. And those are just hard places to win generally.
For sure. We saw the Bucks finally break their, 17-year stretch of not winning in Utah last season? Ridiculous. It's a hard place to win, apparently, for the Bucks. Shouldn't be anymore.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
Who knows?
We'll see. So I know we took questions on our
Before we do that, though. What do you got? I just have a couple more stats about the schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Bucks have the tied for sixth in terms of national TV games with 32.
Is that counting NBA TV?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So the Warriors have 42. The Lakers have 39. Both of those make sense. Obviously, like you can say what you want about the Lakers. They're going to get however many national TV games. Boston has 37. Makes sense. Philly, 34. Doesn't make sense. Phoenix, 34. Whatever. And then Milwaukee and the Clippers are tied to 32.
Phoenix more than the Bucks is stupid, but I think the reason is West Coast. They need enough teams. Although you do have Lakers, Clippers, and Warriors. They shouldn't be that. I don't know.
No, the Sixers, come on.
At least they have. It's fine, I guess. I think the Bucks should have more, but
yeah, they should.
Did you hear those four teams with no ESPN / ABC games?
Oh, who are they? Let me guess.
Yeah,
Orlando.
Correct. Top pick in the draft.
Yeah, Indy.
No.
Indy, huh? Utah.
Yes.
I got two of them.
By far, they have a better record than any two of the other three combined last year. I know we know it's not going to carry over, but it is kind of funny. Correct. Yes, that's third.
And I haven't named the team you're thinking of that you were just hinting at, right?
No, I was going to say Utah has more wins than either of the
Gotcha.
Like either two of the other three combined last year.
Thunder.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's easy to guess those.
It is kind of, I think Utah is most justifiable.
Yeah, I think Detroit deserves some more love. I think the Pistons are going to be fun. OKC is going to be fun. Orlando, you have the number one pick. Come on.
Yeah, I think the number one pick, having a number one pick who's not like Fultz in one of the last two drafts, you should get at least a game for that player, I think.
Yeah, and so we're not asking for ABC games.
Well, we are asking for ABC or ESPN.
We're asking for ESPN, not ABC. ABC is the marquee.
Are they not sometimes broadcast on both? Or is it depend?
Maybe. I think it depends.
Yeah.
But ABC games are ridiculous. Like, those are the highest tier games.
I mean, they might have TNT games. I guess that's not listed on here.
Yeah.
This but came ESPN. From ESPN, so that's
yeah, why just, it's, just, yeah. Just give ESPN, like, at least give them, like, a game against a good team.
Or, I mean, you could knock out two in one night as well.
No one's going to watch that.
Put it before, like, Bucks Warriors or something. I think they should do that. I actually think that would be more fun.
That's not more fun.
I think if you try and split the difference, then you just get a game that sucks.
I mean, like, what is a game between Detroit and OKC going to look like?
No, you do Detroit.
Or Utah.
Utah doesn't need to be there. Detroit, Orlando.
That's fair.
Cade versus Paolo. That's something. Yeah.
Okay, that's solid. I'm very high on the Pistons, by the way. I don't know why.
To be good this year, we need to do we should do an over unders pod if we don't do divisions.
We should.
That'll be fun.
We should. But I don't know. I'm very high on Cade.
Yeah, I like Cade.
And just the foundation they have there.
He went like first.
Beefs to everyone. Last year.
Vecini's redraft, which is saying a lot for that class.
Yeah, when you have Mobley, you have Jalen Green, Scotty Barnes, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. No, I'm super, super high on Cade. But that's enough Pistons talk for this podcast.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the schedule itself. The NBA has done more like baseball-style series, like two in a row against the same team. So I think it's 55 in total across the league this year, which is up from 23 last year. The Bucks have three of them.
We got the worst one possible.
We have Detroit.
That's fine.
We have Washington. Those are both at home. And then we have Miami on the road.
What a terrible. They want the Bucks to lose these two games. A Thursday and a Saturday. Do you know what it's like to spend Thursday through Saturday, probably Sunday, in Miami as an NBA player? They don't play until Monday.
It's tough. And especially the second game, the Saturday game, is a noon game on ABC.
Why would they do that to us? Why are they playing a noon game on Saturday?
Because you got to put it on ABC.
What? I figured that would be a Sunday.
No, that's when they do their Saturday showcase and stuff.
Oh, I don't like the Saturday
showcase. It's bad. It's bad. It's not good.
Here's the thing. No day games. No, there's no need.
Though Giannis has gotten better ever since he became a dad.
He has. I just think in general, day games are just, it doesn't have the same energy to me.
No, because everyone's off their rhythm.
I think the earliest a game should be is like, I don't know, I guess Christmas you kind of have to, I don't know. I think you probably need some level of day games. Does it have to be the second game in a row in Miami though?
It's just mean.
Can I bet the under now?
Yeah. I wish. You probably can.
Yeah, you probably can these days.
Not in Wisconsin.
No. Can we fix that, Tony? Someone get Tony.
I think you can do it at Pato, can't you?
You can, I believe. Yeah.
God, I think you told me that.
I might have.
But yeah, it's just that's a brutal one.
Yeah, the other ones are fine. That's awful.
Yeah, like Detroit back to back, Washington back to back. Chris gonna go for 50 in the Washington game. One of them, I hope.
Chris, 100 points in two games.
Yeah, if he does that, I will get a Chris Middleton tattoo.
Even if you're on the road for those other games, I wouldn't mind it that much. But having the only road, like, what is it, home and home or whatever, be Miami, it's just like, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Though Miami might suck. Who knows?
Not enough for the Miami nightlife to not matter.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a real thing. Ever since I saw Plum Dog.
I was going to say, let's not sign Miles Plumlee to a 10-day or something. Greg Monroe, sorry, man. You can't be there for that stretch.
Yeah, Chris is going
to
be
what's OJ Mayo up to?
Chris is going to be
Juice? Where's Juice? But yeah, let's get to the listener.
Well, I want to do first. So I've got some data. Okay. So we pulled our text line, and you can get into this and be ready for future stuff. Text GSPN to 31032. Ask them what matchup they're most looking forward to. So what team in particular, not knowing what the schedule would actually be yet. But I want to ask you first, Rohan, what are you most looking forward to? What team, I should say, are you most looking forward to the Bucks playing?
Oh, this is a tough one because I could go with the obvious answer. And I'm going to stay away from the grain. I'm gonna say Miami.
Oh, why Miami?
Because they've always been a tough matchup for Milwaukee, and they've sort of been the barometer for how good Milwaukee can be. Because it's like if you can execute at the highest level against Miami, this is a compliment to Miami. But sorry, I dissed you a little bit ago. I'm gonna compliment you now. So hopefully you stayed and listened. like they're so disciplined, they execute everything so well. That if you can do well against Miami, especially in a regular season game, I think the playoffs are a different story. But in the regular season, that shows that you're firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. The Bucks play the Heat, the series we talked about, January 12th and 14th, and then host them twice. So this is one of the Eastern Conference teams they will see four times, Saturday, February 4th in Milwaukee, and Friday, February 24th. So four games against the Heat. Hopefully three that are at least solid. I think that's a good call. I don't know why exactly. I really couldn't tell you. Maybe it's just like the reigning champ mystique. I'm excited to see them play the Warriors. I think it's been usually weird kind of games when they play that team. And could well be the team coming out of the West again this year. I mean, I don't know if I would bet on that, but I think they're certainly in position.
I think the betting favorites should probably be the Clippers.
I don't know if you can make that. I think they are, but there's a lot of risk there.
There is, but there's also a lot of upside.
That's true. The Warriors come to town pretty early. December 13th, they're in Milwaukee. And then Saturday, March 11th is the game in Golden State. Thankfully, not the second night of a back-to-back, although the Bucks do play at home 2 days before. So that's not bad. That should be a good one.
We haven't seen a full strength Bucks Warriors, since probably the KD days.
Well, they were pretty. What was the game where they face guarded Clay or Steph and Clay went off? The Bucks were decently healthy, but I think of the big three.
Yeah, I think so. I think they were down either Chris or Drew.
But Draymond might have been out. I don't remember now.
Yeah, and Draymond was out. Like, full strength teams we have not seen since the KD days.
Yeah.
And we saw – it was, like, one of the earliest games of the season. It was the first season under Bud, I believe. And the Bucks, they just trounced them in Oracle at the time. It wasn't Chase Center yet. It was still Oracle.
Yeah, I remember. And I love that game.
I just remember the Giannis post-game interview. I think – I forget who was asking the question. I think it might – was it Malika? Maybe, who was asking the post game questions on the court? It's like, what does this game mean to you guys? Like as a statement, and Giannis is like, it means we've arrived. And I was like, hell yeah, hell yeah, because it was an early game in the new Bud era, and it's just it was fantastic. That game will always stay in my heart. I think KD got ejected from that game.
Oh, I think you're right
because he kept on fouling Giannis. and then got mad about it.
That was an all-time regular season Bucks game.
Yeah. First Giannis MVP year.
Yeah. Different time. Different energy in any regular season game back then.
Yeah. So that's a good call. Warriors are always fun. Steph versus Giannis, always fun. Steph to Milwaukee, please. And but yeah, the Sixers also, I know I've said some bad stuff about them deservedly.
Yeah.
Win two playoff series. Try that for once. See what happens.
Not that hard.
Yeah. Come on. The Bucks have done that 2 times in 4 years. They haven't done it once in 20.
The Bucks get them 4 times as well, the 76ers this season. Obviously get the Warriors twice. The first game of the year, as we knew, in Philly. Then the next month, also in Philly, on ESPN, Friday, November 18th, the Bucks play the Sixers. Then in Milwaukee, Saturday, March 4th, on ABC. A lot of three out of the four nationally televised games against Philly this year. Sunday, April 2, Sunday night, the Sixers are in town to play the Bucks. So first two on the road and then at home versus Philly. Unsurprisingly, as you alluded to earlier, the most voted for team in our little poll. And honestly, the only team to get more than one vote, it was a bunch of one-offs besides a bunch of votes for the Boston Celtics. Everyone wants revenge. Everyone wants the rematch. The Bucks play the Celtics 3 times. Christmas, as we knew, in Boston. Milwaukee on...
Which doesn't overlap with the Packers, by the way.
Yes, I almost forgot to say that on a pod. Packers play at noon in Miami. Bucks play at 4 p.m. Central in Boston. They're not the early game. We should take it back. The Knicks saved Christmas. Because if it wasn't for the Knicks, the Bucks definitely would be the early game. Maybe the Nets if they'd given them one, as I suggested. But no, the Knicks saved Christmas.
There we go. But sorry, continue with the matchups.
Yeah. Valentine's Day.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. February 14th, right? Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
6:30 p.m. Central in Milwaukee. So, you know, if you're single and looking to mingle, no better place than Bucks Celtics in Fiserv Forum. I don't know if that's... Don't hit on people in basketball games.
Okay.
I don't know. It seemed like a tie-in. You don't be a creep at Fiserv or anywhere for that matter.
Wait. So you think Valentine's Day is a single and ready to mingle type day?
Well, no. If it's like no. It's like, you know, if you're, I guess it could be a couples event too.
Yeah, that's what you should say it is.
Well, I just thought. I mean, I'm not going, to be clear, but I don't know
that you know of yet. You haven't bought tickets.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can control if I don't.
I know. Theoretically, but you might in the future.
Okay, geez.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing here. March 30th, a Thursday. The Celtics are always in town. Two home games. I thought of it more as like, you know, meet someone and bond with them. You're both sad about not doing a Valentine's Day event on Valentine's Day. Go to Fiserv. Just go there and be happy to be alone.
Yeah. That's fine. That's a good message. Yeah. You know, you do you. If watching Bucks basketball makes you happy, go watch Bucks basketball.
That's right.
Do what makes you happy in life, everyone. As long as it's not at the expense of others.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, Boston. It's a very good matchup. Like you said, everyone wants revenge. I think we just want to see Chris go off against the Celtics.
Yeah, I was going to say, pretty cool they don't play them until Christmas. Both of the other games are after Christmas, so we should have a pretty healthy Bucks team. Maybe not Ingles by that first one, but we do have a lot of games against the top teams in the East in the second half of the year, which I think is good for the Bucks, given Ingles and Middleton.
Yeah. Are the Bucks 3-1 on Christmas?
Yeah, though they lost the terrible Sixers game. They barely beat
Boston. That was the Sixers championship, remember?
Yeah. The best thing to happen to the Sixers in a long time.
But yeah, they beat the Celtics last year. They beat the Warriors 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, kind of a bad game, right? That was kind of boring, wasn't it?
And then they beat the Knicks their first year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have they only played 4?
Yeah, because that's how long Bud's been here.
Oh, yeah, I believe so.
Or did they play beforehand? Whatever. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tweet me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, the Celtics, obviously, you want to be able to get revenge. You lose to them in the postseason last year. If we can see a fully healthy Bucks squad against a fully healthy Celtics squad, I guess, I mean, truly, it would be the best spot to get revenge would be the postseason. But if that doesn't happen, might as well show it off in the regular season. We know that the Bucks hold grudges. A lot of their players hold grudges. They're spiteful. I envy that about them. Not envy. I respect that about them. Is that,
is that they hold a grudge so bad?
I'm saying some. I'm going off the rails here.
It could be worse. You could have told people to mingle at a Bucks game.
Yes. If you're single and ready to mingle, Bucks Celtics, February 14th.
You're right that they did not play in the last kid year. They played in the Bud years only.
Okay, cool. So they beat the Knicks. They beat the
Warriors. Celtics.
And then lost to the Sixers.
Correct.
Yeah. So 3-1 in Christmas in the Giannis era. Which is pretty good. So let's make it 4-1 this year. But yeah, like we started, the listeners, they really want to see Boston, and it's understandable.
Yeah, I do too. I'm excited for that one.
Me too.
Even if it's looking like KD may not be there, still will be fun to see that game.
Yeah, we got a couple Eastern Conference final preview predictions as well.
Yeah,
from our text line. We got a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals, Bucks at Cavs. Sure.
I'm not gonna
hate on anyone.
Could be one of a few Cavs fans who are listen to/ friend of the show, but they play the Cavs twice in November, so pretty early in the year. Host Cleveland on November 16th, and again on November 25th, and then the Bucks will be in Cleveland December 21st and January 21st in. You know what they call it? Romo Fieldhouse.
What?
Rocket Mortgage. They call it the Romo.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I just think of Tony Romo.
Spiritual successor for the BMO.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
There you go.
So it's going to be a cursed building?
It might be. I mean, it's named after Rocket Mortgage, so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, their previous stadium is Quick. I mean, name. It's the same stadium as Quicken Loans.
Well, yeah.
They won a title.
They rebranded,
there.
Right? Isn't it all Dan Gilbert's?
Yeah. I mean,
scams?
Quicken Loans is the parent company.
Yeah.
And Rocket Mortgage is a subsidiary. So, same company. It's still all Dan Gilbert.
Yeah. Dan the man.
Sure.
No, really. That's not what I believe.
So I said sure and was moving along.
All right.
Bucks Hornets, another preview prediction. Tough to figure out who that one came from,
yeah.
Even though they didn't sign it. You know who you are. Bulls, that's a good
draw.
One. Yeah, with a draw. Not as bad as it used to be, but it's still there. The Bulls, like we mentioned up top, or earlier, I should say. You know, the Bulls, like, sure, it didn't feel like the playoffs, but it was a playoff series. It did happen.
You're hurting your pro Grayson Allen case.
Hey, I said it was a playoff series.
Heated playoff games with playoff intensity, according to Rohan Kadi.
I said they were playoff games, and I am not wrong.
All right. Okay.
So that was another one. I mean, sure, like the border battle is always fun in that regard.
Yeah, those are spread out throughout the year. We're just not going to read Hornets. Sorry, no one cares about you, Andrew. November 23rd in Milwaukee. December 28th, the first game after Christmas in Chicago. February 16th in Chicago. And near the end of the year, Wednesday, April 5th in Milwaukee are the Bulls games.
It'll be good matchups nonetheless. What else we got here? Nuggets. We got, what was this? Logan said Nuggets is an interesting one, especially if it can come after an interesting and intense Eurobasket matchup that we mentioned up top. And that's not going to be Eurobasket. It's going to be, it could be Eurobasket.
Yeah,
guaranteed to be World Cup qualifiers. And it might end up being a Eurobasket matchup. That'll be fun. It's always good to see Giannis versus Jokic, like two of the top three players in the league.
Yeah.
Just going at it. It's fun. It's always fun. Hopefully Jokic doesn't get a triple-double before halftime this time.
Hopefully Jokic plays in the game in Milwaukee on Jan 25, because the other one is that pretty tough back-to-back I mentioned in Denver in late March. Do you know what they call the Pacers Stadium now?
Some field house, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a field house, but you got to get the rest. I know it used to be a different. It's a new field house, a new name.
I'm not going to get it. Just tell me.
Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
What?
Yeah.
What even is that?
Probably the last one I think was an insurance thing, so maybe it's that. Do you know what Miami is now?
Oh, it's FTX, right? FTX
Arena? At least for now it is, yes.
At least for now. Same with the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yep. I don't know if any of the others are surprising, but I'll keep looking.
But yeah, the Nuggets, that'll be a fun matchup for sure. We also have Bucks versus Pelicans, the opportunity to watch two generational talents with Giannis and Herb Jones is legendary. You know, I love me some Herb Jones.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. I'm not okay going to disrespect anyone. No. You're not high on Herb?
No, I'm relatively. I just think we do this every couple of years where it's like some guy who projects to be a good role player when he probably shouldn't be. And it's like everyone just gets caught up and it goes from like, oh, wow, that's a great draft pick. He's a good NBA player.
NBA hipster pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just like the people get too high. And suddenly it's like, God, would I trade Herb Jones for Brad Beal? I'm not sure. It's like, yeah, you probably should. He's a good player. Come on, there's just, I don't know.
It's like I'm not comparing the two, but like the Tybull hype like two years ago.
Yeah.
Tybull's like this generate. Herb can do much more with the ball than Tybull, which is zero. He can't do anything with the ball. But
doesn't
in terms
take
of like,
any shots, some would say.
Some would say. Maybe you should take some more shots, Matisse.
At least two.
Yep, at least two. About three. Go for three.
Yeah. He doesn't like going for threes.
That's true. He doesn't like doing that. But yeah. Sorry to Herb Jones, but I don't know. Like the Pelican, it's obviously Giannis versus Zion is the draw there, which is going to be fun. Assuming Zion plays. But Giannis versus Zion is always fun. I remember last season, when those two first played, Zion tried to like yam it on him. Giannis like, no. Like, what are you doing? Like, Giannis loves just like playing against like new players in the league, like rookies, and just absolutely sunning them.
Oh,
he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
And I love watching it.
Well, I think it's because he went through that for like years.
Yeah.
Giannis had a lot of welcome to the NBA moments in the early days. I think he enjoys giving a few out too.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like, it's just so funny. I remember, Zion just tried to go for, like, a fast break dunk. Giannis, like, what are you doing? Like, don't try this. This is my league. It's not your league. It's my league.
Exactly. I think you put in this last one.
Oh.
One last answer. One unique answer. What matchup are you most looking forward to? Quote, looking forward to the last game of the season for another Thanasty Masterclass.
It wasn't me, but whoever said that has great taste.
Game 82, baby. We know
it's not even going to be game 82. We're going to have some January games in there. We're going to have some February games in there. Maybe some March games if they give some rest.
Oh, man, it's in Toronto. Toronto. Let me sound like a local.
Oh,
Toronto.
No. Oh, yes.
It's at noon. Look, the last game of the year.
Oh,
is
yes. This is prime Thanasis time. Like, you can't see that. I was literally rubbing my hands together, and it wasn't even for the video because no one could see it. But that's prime Thanasty time, man. I'm ready.
Maybe,
I'm so ready.
Maybe
can we fast forward to there right now?
Maybe Raps fans will be recruiting TA after that game.
Oh, they're going to have to because he's going to destroy them.
They recruited Giannis. They failed. They recruited Alex successfully. Now they can go for TA after that. Maybe coast.
And then Alex still ends up with the Buck.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. Sorry, Toronto.
Yeah.
I feel like we've lost any goodwill we made up in this episode.
I like your young players. There. We can move on. That's enough.
Scotty's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's no Herb Jones, but that's a good comp. I feel like I hear more about Herb.
That is true.
Scotty,
I mean, Herb
was rookie of the year in an insane class.
I don't know. Herb's got it, though.
Yeah. People are going to say I'm a Herb hater. I'm not. Good player. It's just always
the hipsters. You wouldn't say you're getting high on Herb? You wouldn't say that?
No, I wouldn't. Would not say that.
Not in Wisconsin, you're not.
Stashing the Herb. Love.
The Herb stock.
Yeah.
Let's stay on brand.
Yeah, it's true.
Do we have any other schedule thoughts?
I'm excited for another season. It feels like we just wrapped one up. We got Greece.
It does not feel like that to me. It's been forever. No.
I think all the other stuff happening has kept it alive for me.
No, I am in prime Bucks withdrawal already.
That's good. You got Brewers to watch. Packers starting up.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of seasons.
But also, I want the Bucks.
Oh, yeah. That's the good one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the Packers are the good one.
And Brewers. Cinderella run here. But the Bucks, you know, give it all. All seasons being equal in terms of success. You know, we're defaulting Bucks. That's what we want.
Oh,
but it's nice to change it up.
That's not even a question.
But I do miss it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm okay with it being 2 months away still as well.
Yeah, that's fair. Let everyone rest up. Let's let Greece get a gold medal in Eurobasket. We'll be covering that all throughout the Eurostep Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this to get that continued coverage. Like we mentioned up top, go check out Cruising for a Bruising.
Do it.
Baseball season in full effect right now, so make sure you go listen to that. Adam and Andrew are doing great stuff, even though Andrew is a Hornets fan for now. it is still worth listening to. But yeah, thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you rate and review wherever you can on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you subscribe at wherever you're listening to this. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe, make sure you leave a like, all that fun stuff. Pod random. And oh, wait, no, check out GSPN.info. I forgot GSPN.info.
Never forget GSPN.info for all your Eurostep Podcast Network related needs, Rohan.
How can I forget? That's where you can find links to the store, GSPN store, to our Substack, everything, all the pod feeds. That's how you get access to it, GSPN.info. It's truly pod random because, you know, you mix up the sentences. So pod random again. And we will talk to you next time.